sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good hands. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down. We're talking Big Ten basketball, SEC basketball, Big 12 basketball, NFL football. Howard Balzer is going to join us still tonight. Howard, one of the great NFL reporters. And Howard's been around a long time. He's been around so long, and he's so well respected. He actually has a vote for the Hall of Fame. So Howard Balzer will talk some NFL football off-season news. So the Michigan State Spartans, presented by Rocket Mortgage, lost today to Maryland. Not a good loss for these guys. Not a good loss for Michigan State. And I don't like this team. I don't bet on them very often, but I did bet on them today. This was one of my losses this morning. And this was another game in which they were looking good, and then the wheels completely fell off. But, you know, Michigan State, Syracuse, Duke are now out. And, you know, it's done for Duke because they've got COVID. They've got COVID. So right now here, as far as Michigan State is concerned, they are still in. So Michigan State are still in right now on the bubble. So Joe Lenardi's bracketology, VCU, UCLA, Michigan State, Louisville, hanging on by a thread. Drake, Colorado State, Syracuse, and Utah State, technically the last four in right now. Boise State are out after today. Seton Hall are alive. St. John's are done now after today. Xavier are going to be done. I'm telling you what, a lot of these teams, if you'll notice, that were on the bubble have lost. We talk about it. It's, you know, the old handicap. Well, this team needs it. The other team doesn't care. Yeah, well, the team that needs it's under pressure. Number one, the team that needs it because they're not very good. Right. If it's this time, if it's the last weekend of the season before Selection Sunday, and you're panicked about winning and losing to get into the tournament, and they let 68 teams in the tournament, like if you're not one of the top 68 teams in the country, then you got a problem. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like college football where you can bitch. It's like, dude, you're the 72nd best team in the country. Yeah, and you're complaining you didn't get in. Bring it.
Remember, you can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, satellite, or the internet. To make it any easier, we'd have to move in with you. And nobody wants that. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Carvana is so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just clicks. Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There are 24 hours in every day, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds, and we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're throwing it down SiriusXM Channel 204. Howard Balzer will step up and in a couple of moments. We'll talk some NFL football. We've been basketball heavy, but let's continue talking basketball. As Patrick Ewing, former New York Knicks great Hall of Famer, legend Patrick Ewing, says he was accosted by Madison Square Garden security during the Big East tournament. And I'll tell you what, man, I love Madison Square Garden. I've had nothing but a great time at MSG. I've never had a problem with MSG security before, but I guess that's because I never played for the Knicks before. I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, you know, of course, you know, just to let us refresh your memory here, Charles Oakley was arrested. Charles Oakley was arrested at a Knicks game. He was courtside. He got into it with, like, security. He was asked to leave. He was like, I'm Charles Oakley. Everyone needs to chill out. And, you know, he ended up pushing a security guard or bumping him a bit. And not pushing, but, you know, they sort of grabbed him. I mean, whatever. Long story short, it got ugly. Charles Oakley got brought to the precinct house down the street from MSG. And, you know, the last time the Knicks were good, Charles Oakley was one of the reasons why. Spike Lee. They added up the money that Spike Lee has spent on New York Knicks season tickets over the years, and it was literally like $6 million or so. It was crazy. Spike Lee's been $8 million. I don't know. It was a lot of money. Like, Spike Lee's been a season ticket holder like his entire life, ever since he's had money type of thing, and he spent a lot of money there, man. And, of course, Spike Lee got accosted last year before the shutdown, if you recall, in which Spike Lee came in and they said, you can't use this entrance. It's like, dude, it's Spike Lee. He's like your only fan, man, that's been this loyal, even though you've sucked for 20 years, right? So now Patrick freaking Ewing. I would listen, man, I would fire the kid, whoever got in Patrick Ewing's face. You know, this is the problem. Either it was a younger person. Listen, if you don't know who Patrick Ewing is and you work at Madison Square Garden, you deserve to be fired. You deserve to be fired. So, after Georgetown shocked Villanova in their upset victory, Patrick Ewing told reporters after the game that the event staff were regularly stopping him to check his pass, much to his surprise. It became such a frequent occurrence for Ewing that he added that he had to call James Dolan, MSG head honcho, to fix the issue. Or he said he's going to call. He goes, I thought this was my house. They should know who the hell I am, Patrick Ewing. So Patrick Ewing says, I thought this was my building, and I feel terrible that I'm getting stopped, accosted, and asked for passes. Everybody in this building should know who the hell I am. And I'm getting stopped? I can't move around the building? I'm like, what the hell is this? Is this Madison Square Garden? I'm going to have to call Mr. Dolan and say, geez, is my number in the rafters here or what? Wow, can you imagine? You imagine his number is retired and hanging in the rafters in a building and you're getting stopped about your pass. Now, listen, let me ask you if there's a security guard here. I get it. You're doing your job. You don't kind of assume that a dude that is like, I don't know, 7 feet, one tall, at a basketball tournament, wearing a suit, is probably kind of like, you know, supposed to be there. like, you know, like figure, oh yeah, that's the coach of Georgetown. Oh yeah, that's Patrick Ewing, the guy whose, you know, jersey is retired here. You know that guy? Like, you can't make this up. Like, you can't make this stuff up anymore. Like, I thought that the Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage was a joke earlier. But as I stated, the security here at the Garden have a history of this. And like I said, I've never had a bad time at the Garden. I've always had a good time. I love the arena. It's a special place. But I don't understand how, what does Spike Lee, Patrick Ewing, and Charles Oakley all have in common as well? Besides being, associated with the Knicks. They're not white. I'll put it that way. Like, why? What's going on here? Like, why is it? Like, how can, like, you know, like, one, for listen, Charles Oakley, and I love Chuck, but Charles Oakley was drinking, right? And that was the thing. Basically, I guess the Knicks were tired. The story with Oakley was, Oakley used to go to Knick games all the time. He'd sit courtside, he'd have a few, and he'd basically talk openly about how bad they are and how they suck. And then he'd do interviews and stuff. Hey, Charles, what are you enjoying the game? No, I'm not enjoying the game because the team sucks. Right? Like, it's not like when we played. Right? Oakley never really had anything nice to say about him. So I guess Dolan saw him there and said, why are you so negative all the time or something? And I don't know, one thing led to another. And next thing you know, Oakley's in jail, right? Oakley's under arrest in handcuffs. Spike Lee, like I said, Spike Lee has spent, how much has Spike Lee spent on Knicks tickets? It's in the millions. Now, let's see. I'll find this. Here it is. See, I told you guys $8 million. God, I'm good, huh? God, am I good at finding things fast. Spike Lee has spent $10 million over the last 30 years. Over the last 30 years, Spike Lee has given the New York Knicks $10 million for tickets. He has seen zero championships. There was a championship appearance. They did make the finals once. So that's what he's gotten out of this. They made the finals and lost in five to the Spurs. So that's what he got out of this for $10 million. Can you imagine you spend $10 million on tickets on an organization that has never won in 30 years that you've been giving them $10 million for tickets? And you got some jackass security goon, telling you can't use this elevator because it's a private elevator. I guess Spike Lee came in an entrance that he doesn't usually come in or something. Right? And basically, he's got stopped and they were like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Spike Lee. And he was like, out of my way. I'm going to my seat. And they were like, no, you can't come. You can't come in through this entrance. You got it. And I guess it was raining out or something. And it was snowing or whatever. And they said, you got to go around and go whatever. And he said, I'm not going around. And he started to go. And basically one thing led to another. And then Spike Lee didn't get arrested, but he went off. Why don't you arrest me like you did Oakley? Like, he went off. Now Patrick Ewing. Come on, man. It's Patrick Ewing. That's like Patrick Waugh in Montreal being stopped at the Bell Center. Patrick Waugh, that's Patrick Ewing, the face of the franchise, you dumbass. There's pictures of him all over the damn building. That's a fireable offense. It's a fireable offense. In fact, I would quiz all security there. If you don't know your Knick history, you're done. And Rangers, too. And Rangers. Yeah, can you imagine Patrick Ewing? They did this to Patrick Ewing? Repeatedly. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Howard Balzer joins us next. Bring it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a pandemic going on out there.
It's catchy.
It's called
The Winning Edge.
And the only place you can get it
is right here.
Get on the grid.
And stay there.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends.
You're listening to The Winning Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi, floating down Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. While the world is still buzzing about the royal interview earlier in the week with Meghan Markle, we don't have Meghan Markle, we don't have Kate, we don't have William or Harry, but we've got football royalty in the house. Mr. Howard Balzer joins us. And you know what? We're going to learn a hell of a lot more from Howard Balzer than we are from Meghan Markle. Howard, it's always a pleasure, sir. How you doing?
Well, it's my pleasure, Abe. And I do have to add this about the whole royalty angle, because it hit me as you were saying that, is that when I was younger, some people actually called me Prince because my father's actual given name was King. And that's true. I'm not making that up. It's an absolute true story.
I like it. I like it. And tell me it's not true, Howard, that Harry and Carson Wentz are dead ringers.
Absolutely.
I saw a great tweet. Somebody tweeted, why is Carson Wentz being interviewed by Oprah right now? I nearly fell off my chair. Howard Balzer with us.
Well,
so listen,
Howard. I wonder if Harry, if he has that much dead money on the cap.
I know. You know what? They have a lot of similarities, though, don't they? Both recently married. Both needed to get away due to the mean media. You know, we can go on. There's actually a lot of comparisons. The only thing is, Meghan and Harry didn't move to Indianapolis, Howard.
No, exactly. They chose a little different locale.
So, J.J. Watt chose to live where you are. And, of course, Howard covers the Arizona Cardinals on SI.com right now. And, of course, you hear him weekly, SiriusXM, weekly Hall of Fame radio show, Hall of Fame voter. So, J.J. Watt, it's funny, Howard. Look, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, and Bills fans were sending him tweets. Please come. Buffalo Bill players, you know, Green Bay Packer players, Pittsburgh Steeler fans, etc. And then as soon as he signed with Arizona, they all said, oh, he's overrated anyways. He's old anyways.
Of course.
Did you notice that?
That's always the case. I mean, that's normally what happens. It's kind of like when fans and everybody wants coaches fired, and then when the coach is fired, then everybody says, okay, now they've got to pay attention to improving the talent. Well, no kidding. That's why the coach didn't do well, because the talent isn't very good.
It's a great point. And, you know, it's not just fans either. What did you make, Howard, of the reports and of GMs? Oh, they grossly overpaid. I don't know what they're doing over there. And I thought to myself, shouldn't you guys be more worried about what your own football team's doing?
Well, no question. Now, I'm sorry. Which one are you talking about being overpaid?
J.J. Watt. I read the unnamed GM says, oh, never would have given him more than 10, would have given him more than 12 million a year. They overpaid. We don't know what they're doing. And I'm thinking, you've got your own business to worry about, right? I don't know why you're commenting on this, but that's, like
here's
I said, it's a
here's
GM
thing,
for
okay.
all like fans, right?
But here's the thing, though. You know what the real contract is? And so, you know, the GMs, a lot of times, they report to the not complete information that gets put out immediately for a contract. Oh, 2 years, 31. Well, yeah. First of all, $3 million of that he only earns if he can get double-digit sacks in both, you know, the next 2 years. So that's $3 million of it. Then of the guarantee, $3 million only becomes guaranteed next year if he's on the roster. So if you really look at it, what the Cardinals have truly committed is $25 million over 2 years. And guess what? That's $12.5 million a year. And so GM's saying, well, I wouldn't have given him more than 12. Well, it's $500,000 more than 12. So it's amazing to me, especially from GMs, who know that the contract numbers that get put out immediately when a guy is hired, or signed, rather, is many times misleading in terms of the true value of the contract.
What does this mean now for Hassan Reddick moving forward? Is he going to be a Cardinal? Is he going to be playing somewhere else right now? Just because he didn't get tagged doesn't mean that he's done, right? But I have a hard time reading this. I have a hard time predicting this, but that's why we have you on. What's your take on Reddick moving forward?
Well, here's the thing. And this is going to be an unprecedented free agent market because of the lower cap. And we've seen now with J.J. Watt, with Dak Prescott, and a couple of other guys that have signed, is the teams are tacking on to these contracts voidable years, because that way they can lower the cap number this year. And so give a player a sign like J.J. Watt, $12 million signing bonus. Well, everyone's thinking, oh, my goodness, that's $6 million a year going off the cap for the 2 years. Well, guess what? There's three voidable years in J.J. Watt's contract at the end of it, so they can prorate that $12 million signing bonus over 5 years instead of two. And so all of a sudden, that's $3.6 million less against the cap than everyone was thinking originally. I bring that up because we're going to see a lot of those voidable years in contract. And so the bottom line with Hassan Reddick is, for a guy who basically is a 3-4 outside linebacker. So right away, you've cut off, I don't know, half the league, somewhere in that vicinity, of teams that don't even play the 3-4. So now it comes down to fit. Who do those teams have as their rush linebackers? And how much, and even if they like one, how much are they willing to pay Hassan Reddick? And he has to think going to a new team now. He found a nice fit with the Cardinals last year, had a nice productive season. And so I'm sure the Cardinals are looking at this and saying, okay, see what's out there in the market. Let's see. And if all of a sudden it's not there to his liking, which I think we could very well see with a lot of players, then the Cardinals come back and say, okay, here's how we'll structure this. Here's what we want to give you. You deserve money based on last year, but you know, we're going to have voidable years. We're going to have, you know, roster bonuses in the future if you continue on this upward swing. And let's continue earning that money. So the unknown in all of this, Gabe, throughout the league, is for a lot of these players, is what's going to be the market when they get out there, and what's going to be a glutted free agent market with all the unrestricted free agents and then all these guys who are now being released.
Howard Balzer with us on Sports Rage Late Night, Sirius XM Channel 204. Howard, and also, you know, if you're Hassan, you could think, all right, I might make a couple of more bucks, and how much more, as you just sort of explained the market for him. When I've been in Arizona, and it appears like they're about to turn the corner. This is a big year for them, right? This is a big year for Kyler. This is a big year for the coaching staff. It's a big year for the organization. And I look at this division right now, there's a lot of question marks, and I want to get your thoughts on Russell Wilson, in which it seems like March Madness isn't just college basketball, Howard, right? There's March Madness in the NFL as well, but this is a winnable division if you're the Arizona Cardinals. How big is this year, and how much, you know, what's the signal that the ownership is sending to the players, to the coaching staff, that, hey, we want to win this year?
No, they definitely do. They definitely feel that way. And they know they felt they were on the cusp last year when they were 5-2 and then 6-3. And then it obviously didn't go well for the rest of the season. And I think one of the reasons they went hard after J.J. Watt is also to send a message to some of those guys. And not only on the roster now that are free agents, but guys who might be considering coming to Arizona from other teams. Hey, we are building something good here. We are building something that we think is going to be a winner. And so this is a good place to be. And by signing J.J. Watt, I think it was, in addition to what he can bring on the field, it's that intangible that he can bring off the field. And people saying, oh man, if J.J. Watt picked Arizona, he must have a good feeling about that place, which obviously he does. So that's what the Cardinals are hopeful for, obviously. I wrote something last week on the website. Hey, well, let's tap the brakes now. People say, oh, this team's now a contender. Well, first of all, what's the definition of a contender? But they still have, you know, in areas of need on the offensive line, at running back, at cornerback. Even if Patrick Peterson returns, they still need guys, you know, at cornerback. So they've got another wide receiver opposite DeAndre Hopkins. So they obviously still have issues to continue to make that team better. But they believe they are well positioned to be able to do that.
No, you're exactly right, Howard. And what I think contender right now of Arizona, yeah, you're a contender to be a playoff team, right? You're in the mix right now.
Exactly.
You're a contender to make the playoffs. But there are a lot of question marks in this division. And considering that we just saw Tom Brady win a Super Bowl in Tampa and not in Tampa with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, you know, and listen, Wayne Gretzky got traded, right? So I guess, we're always surprised when players get traded, but it seems like this Russell Wilson stuff is accelerating kind of quickly. Do you think Russell Wilson will be the quarterback of the Seahawks this year?
It's a great question, because I don't know how the Seahawks can make it work on the salary cap if they trade him. And that's one thing that hardly anybody talks about. They would have, Carson Wentz, we were joking about him earlier, and the dead money on the cap, it's somewhere north of $33 million is counting against the Eagles cap for a guy who's not even on the team, one player. And in a cap year where the cap has gone down to a little over $182 million. Well, the Seahawks would take a cap hit of $39 million
Wow.
if they trade him. Now, some people have speculated that if he wants out badly enough and he'll get new money from a new team, that maybe he'll pay back some of that signing bonus so the Seahawks won't take that cap hit, and then he'll replace it with a new bonus in the team he goes to. But that still has to be a team that has the salary cap space. I mean, what the heck? There was talk that New Orleans was one of his four teams that he would go to, and the Saints, a couple of weeks ago, were $69 million over.
Yeah,
the cap.
I saw that.
They slashed that down, but they're still over with a little less than a week to go before the start of the league year. So they've struggled to get down, releasing players, restructuring contracts. I don't see how they would be able to fit under the cap Russell Wilson's salary.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Plus giving him a signing bonus, which of course would be prorated. So I don't know. I might be totally wrong, but I still think they're going to find a way to keep him there, because it's just very, very difficult with that cap situation to trade him and to find a team that he wants to go to that can make it work.
Seriously, we do this 24 hours a day, every day.
It's real.
And it's here. We've got to come up with a better name for it than fantasy sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio, the internet, TV, satellite, and our mobile app. We make it easy.
Like real easy.
In fact, if you're not listening,
it's you.
It's always you.
Slacker.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Class continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down. Sirius XM, Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the mightier 1090 in San Diego. We're in conversation with the great Howard Balzer. And I got to tell you, Howard, I'm fascinated by your cap knowledge. And if I would have known there was this much math involved in talking sports, I would have paid more attention in class. But wow, I mean, cap this and cap that and this numbers and, the different levels of tags and all this this other stuff. So speaking of March Madness, Selection Sunday is March 14th. And Howard is a great Twitter follow if you want to stay on top of things and what's going on in the National Football League. And people saw Drew Brees working out in a parking lot and said, oh, maybe he's not retiring. But Howard Balzer tweets, what is Drew Brees waiting for? Well, Sunday, March 14th is the 15th anniversary of the day that he signed with the Saints. So here it is, Howard, because people are actually kind of wondering about Drew Brees right now. So I think you broke it right here. Is he going to retire on Sunday?
My sense is he still will. That doesn't mean that he will. But as I just talked about with the Saints, let's remember, to help them get under the cap, they restructured his contract in maybe a little more than a month ago to lower his, I think he had a $25 million base salary or something like that, and they lowered it to the league minimum of a little bit under $1.1 million. So all that money would go off the cap. They still have some prorated money that will be on there, but even if he announces his retirement, they won't make it official until after June 1st, so they can split some of that money over 2 years. But here's the deal. If he would come back, something tells me, Gabe, he's not going to play for a little bit under $1.1 million. And so, but here's the crazy. So I still think he's retiring. But here's the crazy scenario. Suppose Drew Brees says, you know what? I've got one more year in to win. I can win a Super Bowl just like Tom Brady did in Tampa Bay. I know the team is in cap hell right now. So, Saints, here's what I'm going to do. I'm coming back for 1 year, and I'm going to play for that $1.1 million. However, you're going to give me a incentive that if we win the Super Bowl, then I'll get whatever it is, $10 million, $15 million. I'll make back that money that I'm giving up so we can still have a good team. And that money doesn't count against the cap this year. If they win the Super Bowl, well, it counts against the cap next year. But the cap will be going up once again. So that's a crazy scenario. But you know what? Nothing in the NFL surprises me anymore. But I still believe that he's going to pick Sunday. It's a perfect, you know, tie a blue ribbon on this great 15-year career with the Saints, and perhaps announce it on Sunday on that anniversary day, because you'd think that he's going to announce something before the league year starts next Wednesday.
It's not as if though that the NFLPA has ever been one of the stronger representatives of their athletes in sports, but I'm just thinking, Howard, you know, it's got to, at what point do they start, you know, as you were talking about Drew Brees, I'm thinking about this. It's a nice angle, but wouldn't the Players Association go, dude, you can't be playing for $1 million. Jameis, you can't be signing contracts for $950,000. Cam, you can't be signing. But it's amazing, as you stated, if you would have told me, Howard, 4 or 5 years ago, yeah, Cam Newton's going to be with the Patriots and he's going to play for $1 million. I was going, yeah, we get out of here. Next thing he's going to play in the XFL too, right? Like you know what I mean? You can never predict this stuff right now, but you were talking about that cap hell for the Saints. What about Jameis Winston? I think Jameis isn't getting a fair shake. You know, I look at all the talk about all these quarterbacks. Yeah, he threw a lot of interceptions. I get it. I think that he's reformed his life a lot. I think he's matured. I think he's in physical better condition than he was. Let's call it out. He stopped drinking like he was before. He got the laser surgery. Like, if I'm the Saints, I'd be very fortunate. I'd be signing this guy quickly, Howard.
I don't disagree with you, and I think it all depends on what Sean Payton has seen in this last year and whether he believes that he can be the guy to lead them and help them win games and not make those bones. And a lot of times, he threw a lot of interceptions, but a lot of times it's not just throwing interceptions, it's when you throw them. He just has that knack a lot of times of throwing him at the worst possible time in a close game in the fourth quarter. And Sean Payton would have to have that confidence that he's not going to do that. Now, from Winston's standpoint, you say, okay, well, can you be coached into that? Is the team being better? Does that help the situation. But heck, we've seen the Saints trying to come from behind at times with Drew Brees, and he throws three interceptions. What the heck? Tom Brady threw three interceptions in the fourth quarter
of the conference. And Brees doesn't have the paw power to get the ball down the field quick enough, right? Exactly. At least Jameis in a couple of chunks. Hey, Sean, I can get this. Two, three passes, I'll get you down the field.
I would sure give him the ball opposed to Taysom Hill. That, to me, is insane. Now, it doesn't mean I wouldn't still use Taysom Hill in a variety of ways like they have, but I don't know that you're going to go very far with him as the every-down quarterback. So I think that's going to be real interesting to see what the Saints do when the time comes and how they, if it is Winston, how they structure a contract for him. And there again, maybe it's a low base salary, but you give him a whole bunch of game started incentives, X number of dollars for every game you start, then maybe some playoff incentives where you can earn some of that money that, again, will not count. Because the way they work in the NFL, when you're talking about the cap knowledge, if you give a guy what's considered an unlikely to be earned incentive, and that's all based on what the team achieved or the player achieved this year. So if they would say, Jameis Winston, if you start 10 games, you're going to get $3 million. If you're going to start 16 games, you'll get another $7 million. Whatever the number might be. Since he didn't start any games last year, then that's all considered an unlikely to be earned incentive. And so if he earns it, then once again, it goes on the cap next year. And if he wins games and if he's starting a lot of games, that means he's playing well. And so that, to me, is the way you structure his deal. So it's cap friendly this year, and maybe you give him a signing, maybe you sign him a 2-year deal, give him a signing bonus that prorates, and all of a sudden you're within reason in terms of what the Saints are trying to put together and keep this team very competitive in what's a pretty decent division. Obviously, it has Tampa Bay in it, and who knows about Atlanta and Carolina.
Howard, we'll get you out of here in a couple of minutes, but I couldn't help but think when you said, the problem with Jameis is it's when he throws these interceptions or when he turns it over. He's been careless in the pocket with the football as far as fumbles. I get it. There's been inopportunistic, unforced errors, so to speak. Yeah, you know who else I'm just thinking of? I mean, the guy threw seven interceptions in a game and he's made hundreds of millions of dollars, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's turned the ball over a lot at the worst possible time in his career. So people can change, right? And I get it, but I just, I do believe in Jameis. I think he deserves another shot. So speaking of Tampa, and I just want to get your thoughts on the franchise tag stuff before we get you out of here. I like Chris Godwin. I bet on a lot of his props. I'm a Godwin fan, and I don't think people realize, too, Godwin actually accumulated for like 24% of all their receiving yards, and their passing attack, and in the playoffs, 25%. So he was a big key to their success, but I was surprised that they tagged him, Howard, in the sense that they're paying him like, nearly $17 million right now. And I just sort of thought that they would go sort of the route of, everyone's going to want to play for us, and we could just sort of get guys on the cheap, and they'll play cheaper for us because they're going to want to be part of this. I was surprised. Were you surprised that they tagged him?
I was, and I was surprised that they tagged him instead of Shaq Barrett. And obviously he would have been expensive too, but to me, the Buccaneers won in the postseason not because of Tom Brady. Certainly he contributed, don't get me wrong, and there were a lot of positives he brought to that team. But they won with defense. They won with defense against Green Bay after two of the Brady interceptions in the fourth quarter. And then after that, the Packers went 3 and out on two possessions, and Barrett had a sack on each of those possessions. In the Super Bowl, that team was just relentless with the pressure on Patrick Mahomes. They won because of that defense. And so that surprised me a little bit, unless they know there's stuff going on behind the scenes that they felt that they're close to getting a deal done with Shaq Barrett on a long-term deal, and they wouldn't have that money counting against the salary cap when it all opens. But it's a lot of money to give a guy who's a really good player. But I don't know what Chris Godwin would have commanded on the open market? Is he a guy that can be your number one guy that a team is going to pay big money to? I'm not sure that he is that guy. He's a very good, excellent receiver. Don't get me wrong. But is he a true number one, or does he benefit by the fact that you have Mike Evans there? And then they added Antonio Brown near the end of in the second half of the season, who made some big plays for that team. Added Gronkowski with all the weapons, and Cameron Brate at tight end. With all the weapons that team had on offense, Godwin was helped by that. But obviously they made the decision they felt prudent for them, and they wanted to make sure to keep the guy. They'll still try to get a long-term deal done, but the issue, Gabe, is that once you put that tack on them, that becomes the baseline for the average.
You just created the price for him.
On a long-term contract. Exactly. So we'll see how it works out for him.
All right, we'll get you out of here, but I was thinking that I can imagine, like, a lot of times agents and players on the phone, they're like, son of a bitch, we just got tagged. All right, don't worry. We're going to do this. You know what I mean? They're mad. If I'm Godwin and his agent, I'd be like, I can't believe they just did this, and they're going to give us $17 million. Like you said, they just created this market for him moving forward. But as you stated, they always know more than we do. Howard, you're the best, my man. Time always flies.
Here's the funny thing real quick, because on Dak Prescott, they could have got this done a while ago, but what ended up being the base of this contract, if you really think about it, is that $31 million last year in the franchise tag. If they had franchised him this year, that would have been $37.
Yeah.
If they had to franchise him next year, it would have been like $50-something. And if you add up those three numbers, guess what? It comes to an average of a little north of $40 million a year, which is what he got in his four-year contract.
It's a great point, Howard, actually, because initially a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Dak this and Dak that. And as you stated, there's a rush. Everyone wants to be first when no one remembers anyways in the end. And it was really a six-year deal, right? Spread over six, not four. And it's a good point, because even I thought to myself, he's not 100% healthy. You know, why wouldn't you just tag him? But you're smarter than I am, and it looks like Jerry and company are smarter than I am, because then they would have been on the hook for even more money down the road.
Right, exactly, and they would have had more going against the cap. So by the base four-year deal and $66 million signing bonus, you now prorate that over 5 years. And so that $11 million plus his $9 million base salary creates a cap number of 20 instead of what it would have been on the franchise tag at 37. And that's a huge difference, especially in this year, where you need the cap space to do other things to help that team around Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I didn't bring Dak up. I figured they get enough media coverage. Howard Balzer with us. Love you, Howard. Thanks for the time, my man.
All right, man. Take care.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't.
And wish you had.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To win, you need a strategy,
a plan.
You've come to the right place. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you
the winning edge.
I mean, we're not just doing this for our health.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Well, Cal came back. That's the good news. Bad news is, the ball rimmed in and out, man. The game nearly went to overtime. Why is it, though? I don't understand. Every time I have a damn underdog, and I got like plus four, plus five with a dog, I'm like, don't go to overtime. Don't go to overtime. Don't go to overtime. It goes to overtime, and then I lose. If I'm plus six, I lose by seven in overtime. I've had decent luck, actually. It hasn't been a nightmare in OT, but just generally. But you know how many times today I had totals, and I'm like, come on, man, go to overtime. Go to overtime. And it doesn't happen. And when I don't want it, it happens. It's happened like four times today. And somehow Cal come all the way back. Colorado were falling apart. And people talking about, oh, Colorado can go deep in the tournament. They're not going deep in the tournament. All right. I think the only good team are the Ducks in this conference. The Ducks are going to win the Pac-12. I think they're going to win the Pac-12 tournament this weekend. But Colorado starts giving the ball away late. And Cal are terrible. Yet Cal are hitting shots, and they got the ball back with 11 seconds left. It wasn't a good shot. It wasn't a good possession. It was kind of helter-skelter, but they're a crap-ass team, right? So, but the kid gets the shot off, and it was going in, man. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to go in. And it rimmed out. It literally, it was one of those in, but I don't know. Basketball is a cruel sport, and it wasn't in. It wasn't in. And Bill Walton's cold, man. He's great, but he's cold. Because Robinson said, oh, what a good shot. It was in. And Walton said, oh, it has to go through the hoop to actually make it a good shot. It didn't go in. All right, so every night this week, our overnight pick, where we're like, all right, this is the early morning game. We're going to take this. Has won. Can we do it again on the way out? I don't know. I'm a little rattled due to this stupid New Zealand breaker game that we just bet on right now. We got Michigan at 11:30 a.m. laying 8.5. Total is 133. That's a tough game right there. Check me out on Twitter at sportsrage.com. I need to decompress and dig in a little bit deeper. But I'll tell you right now, no one believes in Virginia, but they're better than Georgia Tech are. And I've been betting on Georgia Tech. Other than that, you're on your own later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.